Good morning again, church. We're going to open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, and here's what we're going to do. Last week, we concluded a series titled Hills and Valleys, where we read the last five Sundays, and we followed the life of Joseph, and our goal was for us all to be able to walk through the high moments of life and the low moments of life the exact same way, knowing that God is always with us. And I think it feels like 4 years ago whenever last summer came around. But I think it was around last summer that we began a series through the book of Ephesians. And does anybody remember we started that? It seems like forever ago. Jeff, you preached it 1 or 2 weeks for me while I was out of town in Florida. And we got to the point of Ephesians chapter 5 where it talks about wives and husbands. And what we're going to do the next 2 weeks is we're going to finish a series that was left undone. And here's how we're going to work it. We're going to do it in reverse order. We're going to preach Ephesians 6 today and Ephesians 5 next week. Does everybody know what next Sunday is? Next Sunday is Valentine's Day, the day of love and the day of well overpaid candy and flowers and a lot of men that really suck up after a horrible year of forgetting things and not buying things. And you really go all out for Valentine's Day. And what we're going to do is we're going to do Ephesians 6 today, and then we're going to go back to Ephesians 5 next week to talk about the relationship between husbands and wives on the day of love and really dig into what Paul is telling us and what the scriptures teach us about marriage. The God-ordained marriage that has been throughout time that we continue to get to experience this very day. And that will be next week, so please come. If you're a significant other, your spouse needs a little Jesus, next week is the week to drag them in here. And let's preach about, let's read about marriage and the love that we should have for our husbands and for our wives. Today we're going to go into Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 10, and then we're going to read until about verse 20. And this is what Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 reads. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And I want to stop there for a minute, and I want to break this down, and I want to talk to you about, last week I mentioned a point in the sermon about the fight of forgiveness. And it was really rooted in the fact that if we were to be really honest, it's a fight for us sometimes to forgive people. And it's a fight to get over some offenses and actually live in the forgiveness that we have received freely from Christ that we should extend to other people. And at the end of the sermon, I was encouraging you to live and to leave here free. Just be free. Experience and be lavished in the immeasurable amount of mercy and grace that God has for you. Live in it. Experience, but also share with others and just live free. Stop living bound to the past and stop allowing the smallest of offenses to just dictate how you live and how you feel and how you treat others, and allow the external circumstances to really carry the way that you live. Just be free. Just be free. And that freedom only comes in the name and the embodiment of Jesus. In the ministry of Jesus, in the death, the burial, burial and resurrection of Jesus. That's where freedom comes. And then I got to reading this particular passage of scripture and praying, and it was like God opened my eyes to the fact that there is now a new fight. The first fight we fight is the fight of forgiveness. The fight of forgiveness to actually believe wholeheartedly that a holy, righteous God would actually forgive us. Not only is it a fight for me to forgive you sometimes if you offend me or if you do harm to me, but it's also another fight that, if we're to be honest, that we also experience when it comes to experiencing the forgiveness of God for you and for me. Sometimes it is a fight to really believe wholeheartedly and have full faith and trust in Him that He would look upon someone like me and forgive me and blot out all of my transgressions and remove all of my iniquities. And forgiveness leads to freedom. And today I want to talk about the fight of the freed. The fight of the freed. If you are here today and you are free in Christ, there is now a new fight that we will fight for the rest of our lives. We just read it. Paul's concluding this letter. You know how sometimes you have a meeting, or you might give a presentation, or you might give a speech. Sometimes you want to save the best for last. And you want to really get something good at the very end that will stick and that they will be able to retain and live by. I don't know if that's Paul's original intent in this. But after all of this beautiful letter he writes to the church of Ephesus, he ends with warning them that there is now a new fight on their hands. And who was it against? It was against not bone and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in where? The heavenly places. And I want you to know that there's two aspects of this fight. You and I are all joined together as the body of what? The body of who? The body of Christ. Therefore, we fight together for the advancement of God's kingdom and the minister of the gospel to the world, to make Jesus known, to make Jesus famous, to see people set free, to see families baptized, to see people breaking the chains of addiction, to see all of these things in the kingdom of God. And then we also have our own individual fight. Now, here's the thing about our own individual fight. Your individual fight may not look like my individual fight. There are going to be things that you battle, that you struggle with, and that you fight for the remainder of your life. Just raise your hand if you fight anything. Just be honest. You fight anything. Now, here is what I want to do. I want to really attack the way in which we fight. And the first one is this. There's three no's, K-N-O-W, that we're going to address today that will help us be able to fight the right fight. Because I think that too many Christians are fighting the wrong way. And here's what I mean by that. The first one is we have to know our tactics. We have to know our tactics. Paul says that this is a heavenly fight. This isn't just bone and flesh and blood. This isn't you punch me, I'll punch you back, or you kick me, I'll kick you back. I mean, this is a spiritual fight that is fought in the heavenly places. And what happens for too many people, and so many Christians fight this heavenly fight with earthly tactics. They fight a heavenly fight with earthly tactics. Let's talk real life here. People living in drunkenness and can't break the addictions that they once carried, what do they fight a heavenly fight with? They fight it with the earthly tactic of an AA meeting or a roundtable discussion. I mean, people that struggle and fight lust and maybe even the addiction of pornography, how do they fight the heavenly fight? They fight it with maybe adding stricter search restrictions on their devices. I mean, how do people fight the spiritual fight of having kids living in rebellions or grandkids living in rebellion? What do? They fight it with an earthly tactic of children's programs or keeping them busy or not giving them their phone or taking their kids. I mean, all of these things. And I'm not saying any of these things are bad things to do. But I'm telling you, if we try to fight a heavenly fight with earthly tactics, we'll always feel defeated and we'll wonder why after 6 months or a year or 5 years, we're still struggling with the same things, living in the same sin, or falling to the same fight. And I feel like for too many people, they're fighting the wrong way. We're fighting spiritual fights with heavenly places. I heard a pastor one time from TVC, the Village Church, pretty popular guy, said that the fight that we fight cannot be won on dry erase boards or around a tabletop. The fight that we fight, spiritual fight, cannot be won on a dry erase board, whiteboard, or around a program, or in a tabletop discussion. That is not where we... Is that buzzing or is that me? Is that me buzzing? The fight, man. I got a fight in that sound in my head. There's a term for that medically, but we're going to look past that. But we all fight something. We try to fight our addictions with, let me just change my habits. And here's what happens if we apply earthly tactics to a heavenly fight. That earthly tactics will temporarily change our habits. But what is needed is a permanent change of heart. So the reason that you fight and you fight and you fight and you struggle with addiction, or you fall to this temptation, or you can't overcome this fight after weeks or months or even years of falling to it, is because you are just simply applying earthly tactics which will temporarily change your habits, when it is your actual heart needing to be addressed and needing to be repented of and cleansed by the blood and by the power of Jesus Christ. And what will happen is we will spend our entire lives constantly feeling defeated because we are just living in earthly tactics of, well, I struggle with this, so I better stay away from that. Well, these people bring me down. Let me just spend a little less time. And no. It is your heart that needs to be surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is your heart that needs to be addressed. And you need to truly be changed and transformed from your own heart. It is the condition of your heart, not the habits so much, that are causing you to fall and causing you to feel defeated time after time after time. But for too many years, for so many people, they will fight these spiritual fights, these heavenly battles, with earthly tactics that will just temporarily change your habits. You'll stop doing this for a little while, and then a year later, you're still back in it. It's the very reason that some people, for weeks, months, or even a couple of years, will be able to say no or not give into that temptation or will overcome that past mistake or that flaw. But then just down the road, after a little bit of life, after a little bit of stress, after a little bit of pressure, will fall right back into it. Because we don't know the right tactic. And I would tell you that the right tactic to fight this heavenly fight is heavenly tactics of prayer. Being in step with God's Spirit. Knowing His Word. And we'll get to that here in just a minute. But if you try to just say, well, and here's the other one. This is going to be real life for us too. We try to fight the fight with sin. With, well, I've got to go to church so I feel good the rest of the afternoon. Which will cause us to be right back into the sin. Because we're coming to church so that we will leave here encouraged and feel good, when we have no true transformation of heart and want to worship God because of what He is to us and what He has done for us. We want to be here, which is great, but if we are not here for the right reason, we'll leave here feeling good and on cloud nine, and then by Wednesday night, we're still saying the same words. On Friday night, we're still living in the same sin. And what will happen is we'll fight the fight of sin, a spiritual, a heavenly fight, with the earthly tactic of, let me just go to church because maybe that will do it. No. It is your heart that needs to be addressed. And if you are struggling with the fight of sin, I'm telling you, being here is great. And I will pray that whatever I speak is anointed by the Spirit of God, and that I'll be out of the way and He will convict you. Or maybe in song or prayer, something will happen to where the Spirit of God will convict your heart, comfort your heart. But most importantly, maybe confront your heart so that it can be changed. So that you can stop fighting the heavenly fight with an earthly tactic. So that your heart can be addressed where it needs to be addressed. So that you can repent of the sins you need to repent of. So that you can surrender to the Lord what it is that He needs to have. So you can fight the right way. Second, we got to know our weapon. Let me read again the pieces of this armor of God. Just know that it is the armor of God. It's not the armor of Trevor, the armor of Brian. Meaning, the only way that you can actually fight the good fight is to put on the armor of who? God. It's by His mercy and His grace that He offers to us the armor of God so that we can actually withstand the enemy, Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy us. And we can actually stand firm on His word. So let's read together the pieces of this armor. Whenever we get into verse 14, we read that there is a belt of truth. We read that there is a breastplate of righteousness, that there are shoes on our feet, having been put on by the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And we know in all circumstances we are to take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. We take the helmet of salvation. Stop there for a minute. All of these pieces of armor are primarily used for what? Defense. They're used for defense. They're used to protect you from what may come your way. There's only one piece of the armor that is used in an offensive way. What does it say it is? Take up the what? Sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. We've got to know our weapon. Because all of those other pieces are just there for defense. They're there to protect you. They're there so that you can continue to stand. But if you just stand in the face of an enemy with all kinds of defensive pieces of armor, you'll only be able to stand there so long. What happens is we've got to know our weapon in order to use it so that we can fight back against the enemy to ultimately conquer. Go back for a minute. I'm going to get there in just a minute, Bruce. Go back for a minute. That's going to come here at the end. But if we don't know our weapon, so in the Marine Corps, we had to memorize our serial number of our rifle, and we had to know every single piece of it. We had to know how to take it apart. We had to know how to clean it. We had to know how to put it back together. We had to know our weapon so that when it came to use it, when it came time to using it, in whatever way it was, we knew how to use it. We knew what our weapon could do, and we knew how to repair it if something were to happen in battle to protect us and the people around us. We had to be prepared. We had to know our weapon. And here's the other reason that people will lose the fight that we fight and will feel defeated time after time after time. Is because, one, we don't know our tactics well enough, or we're using the wrong tactics, or two, we just don't know our weapon. We don't know our weapon. We can't fight a spiritual fight against the enemy and not know what kind of weapon we're supposed to carry. Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, was tempted by Satan taking the word of God and twisting it in a way. How did Jesus respond? By punching him in the face? No. By a roundhouse kick to the face? No. With a Spartan kick to the chest? No. He fought him with what? The Word of God. By knowing the Word accurately and using it against the enemy, Jesus simply used the Word of God to defeat the enemy. And the reason that many of us will feel defeated time after time after time or year after year after year is just because we don't know our weapon. This is the weapon that we have to fight back against the enemy, in which we can tell him that he is beneath our feet in Christ, to tell him that though we are not worthy of it, Jesus took it upon himself to pay for our sin, and so that in him we could actually become the righteousness of God. It is his word when it tells us that those who call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved, and it's his word in which we can use against the enemy to remind him that, yeah, I know my past looks one way, but let me remind you of your future. Your future enemy tells me by God's word that you will dwell in the pits forever and ever and ever. And I will become more than a conqueror. Why? By the blood of Christ, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, by the advancement of the gospel, we can actually fight. And the reason so many Christians fight the good fight in a bad way is because they don't know their tactics or they're using the wrong ones. We just don't know our weapon. And this has been freely given to us to use as a weapon. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. I mean, it'll cut the enemy going in, coming out. It is something that we have to use in an offensive way when everything else is peace on us to protect us, to defend us. This is the one thing that we have to pierce our enemy so that we can fight back and not just stand defensive all the time. The reason we lose is because we don't know our tactics, or they're wrong, or we just don't simply know our weapon. We just don't know it. And I'm not condemning you for not knowing it. There's a lot I don't know. But we've got to be in this book. We've got to be living in this word. We've got to store this word in our heart, not only so we don't sin against it, but we can declare it. We can believe it. We can hold the Lord not accountable like we're actually testing him, but we can see him being faithful to his word, to walk with us in the valley, to be a rod and staff in the moments of fear. We can really cling to the promises that he gives to us all in his word. And if we don't know our weapon, we will constantly feel defeated. So I'm telling you, you've got to address your tactics and you've got to know your weapon. And the last thing is, we've got to know the purpose, but we also got to know our people. Now, here in just a moment, you've already seen the picture and we'll get to it here in a moment. But when we look at all of those pieces of equipment, I heard this in a sermon one time and it was too good not to share. I had to share it. When we look at all of these pieces, the helmet, the breastplate, the shoes, when we look at the shield, when we look at all of these things, we notice that it only covers one side of our body, the front. It only covers the front, which means our back is exposed, which means our back is vulnerable, which there is probably two reasons maybe why. And you'll hear some Christians tell you this because as Christians, we never retreat. We never run back. We always push forward. Well, I'm here to tell you that if you live a little while, there's some times and some seasons and some battles you don't feel like moving forward. There are. Sometimes life is heavy and it's hard to push through. And sometimes it's hard to push forward on your own. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we see that one can be overpowered pretty easily, but two can stand firm. Two. We know that three is even stronger. And here's what I want to do. I want to end this sermon by reminding you to know your tactic. If you're here today and you're fighting a heavenly fight with earthly tactics, it's time to call upon the name of Jesus. It's time to surrender your heart to him in full. It's time to give all that you are to him. It's time for you to start knowing your weapon, whether that's a YouVersion Bible app, whether that's just opening it up and reading and praying and asking God to reveal to you what his word really is and what his heart and his nature and his character really is. But lastly, you've got to know that your back is slightly exposed, which means whenever I mentioned earlier, life groups are extremely important. This is why. I'm going to have Brian come up and fight with me. So, Brian, bring your sword. Bring your weapon, man. We're going to have a sword fight. Brian? Dude. I'm just kidding. So, I'm going to have Brian help me finish this sermon by giving you a visual of this is how we're actually supposed to fight. So, we've got to know our tactics. We've got to know our weapon. But with all of those pieces of armor, our back is exposed. Why? Because as I stand this way, and he stands that way, and he faces his things, and I face my things, I got his back, and he's got mine. So I got his back. When he starts to fall, man, I got you. When it's hard for you to push forward, guess what? This big movie will push you back. All right, get back, bud. Get back. Get back. When I start to fall or when I feel like I can't stand on my own, guess who's right here behind me? Guess who's got my back? And here's the beautiful thing. It's not just one of them, but it's time for you to know your people. It's time for you to find people that will be on their knees with you. When you fight your fight and feel like you're weary and you can't fight anymore, you got somebody that's got your back. And you can elbow me. I got your back. And we're here to fight together. And this is the picture that I want us to envision when it comes to fighting the fight of faith. Whenever the devil looks at me, I don't want him to just see me all six-packed and abs and got my armor on. I go to Faith and Fitness. It's going to happen. All right, I'm telling you. But I want him to see every person behind me. I want him to see all of the people on their knees for me. I want him to see all the people willing to put up their armor. When he looks at Brian, I don't want him to just see Brian standing alone. I want the devil to see all the people standing behind him. Swords up, armor on, ready to fight for him. And here's what I want you to do. If you do not know people or have people in your life that are willing to stand back to back with you and fight with you and to fight for you and to get on their knees for you, it's time for you to know your people. It's time for you to find new people. And this is how I want you to end this sermon. I want you to stand up with us. We're getting ready to worship and leave here. I want you to tell somebody, I got your back. I want you to tell your neighbor, I got your back. Tell them, I got your back. I got your back. I got your back. And I know it's funny, and it's, but this is the picture I want the devil to see when he looks my way. I want him to see all of the people that are willing to get down on their knees and to pray for me when I fight or when I feel like I'm going to fall or when your marriage starts crumbling down. I want the devil not to just see you two vulnerable on your own, but to see all the people that are praying for you, that are fasting with you, that are praying in the spirit. That I want him to see the people that know their weapon. I want him to see the people that are willing to put on the armor. I want him to see the people that are willing to fight too, because I'm telling you, it's time for Christians to start fighting. It's time for us to fight. And we can't just stand defensively and never attack back, because we got a weapon, I'm telling you, that will take every enemy down, that will pierce every opposition. And when the devil looks our way, he's not just going to see me. He's got my back. He's got my back. You got my back. I got your back. I got your back. You got each other's back. Turn to each other. Let us sing, let us pray, but I want you to leave here knowing there are people in this church that got your back. Grammatically incorrect and all, they got your back.